Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Matt Wiese delivers this week's message.
Cannibals. You will be eaten by cannibals. Those were the words spoken by feisty Mr. Dickinson when he spoke to a young missionary named John Patton just before Patton had set sail to the New Hebrides in April of 1858. John Patton was a missionary to cannibals on the island of Tananaw in the New Hebrides. He had walked away from a comfortable life in Scotland in order to bring the gospel to the lost in Tananaw. Throughout Patton's life, he had endured many hardships, and he had suffered greatly for the cause of the gospel. One such hardship occurred not long after arriving in Tananaw. It was in March of 1859 that Patton's wife gave birth to a baby boy. Sadly, 21 days later, Patton's wife passed away due to complications from the birth. If that wasn't difficult enough, 17 days after Mrs. Patton's death, John's only child, a little baby boy, passed away. Suddenly, Mr. Patton found himself all alone on an island full of people who wanted him dead. Friends, the Christian life is full of hardship and suffering. In fact, Jesus said that to follow him, you and I must take up our cross every day. In other words, Jesus is saying that we can expect to face hardships and suffering for the sake of his name and his gospel. So how do you walk through hardship and suffering as a Christian? How do you have hope when it seems that all hope is lost? How do you continue on in the faith when you are pressed down by your circumstances? Well, the Apostle Paul knew all about hardship and suffering. He actually wrote a letter to a young pastor named Timothy. And it's in this letter that Paul instructs Timothy to not be ashamed of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ and to not be ashamed of the suffering of the Apostle Paul, but rather he should join in the suffering for the sake of the gospel. What is more, Paul instructs young Timothy to continue on in the faith in the spite of hardships and suffering, and in so doing, he needs to guard the gospel that has been entrusted to him. In Paul's second letter, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, Paul not only instructs Timothy to continue on in the faith, he doesn't only instruct Timothy to guard the gospel, but he gives five encouragements for how Timothy can continue on in the faith and guard the gospel when he faces hardships and sufferings. So if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. Would you follow along as I read the Word of God? 2 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we come to you humbly asking that you would speak to our hearts from your word. We ask that the Spirit would move in our hearts to help us to see the hope that we have in Christ, despite the hardships and sufferings you will have us go through, both for the sake of the gospel and in life in general. We pray that today you would be magnified through the preaching of your word. Father, for your name's sake, for your glory's sake, would you allow me to present this word faithful? Would you allow me to present it clearly? And I pray that you would encourage all of our hearts so that we would press on in the faith until the day that you call us home. It is through your Son, Jesus Christ, that I ask these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the first encouragement that the Apostle Paul gives to Timothy to continue in the faith and guarding the gospel in the midst of hardship and suffering is found in verse 8. Look in the Bible with me at verse 8. Paul says, "Remember Jesus Christ." Now, I find this interesting because it wasn't like Timothy was in danger of forgetting who Jesus was. Friends, remember, Jesus made a huge impression. In fact, some would say he turned the Roman Empire upside down when he came to live here on earth. So Paul, or Timothy rather, would not forget who Jesus was. Because remember, Timothy is very intimately intertwined with the life of Paul. And from the day that Paul was converted until the date of this letter, Paul had given his entire life to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So if Timothy is not in danger of forgetting who Jesus is, why would Paul give him this encouragement to remember Jesus Christ? Well, friends, the Apostle Paul understood what lay ahead for his young protege. As a Christian, much less a pastor, Paul understood that there would be suffering and hardships that Timothy would face. And Paul understood that Timothy would need to press into the hope that is found in remembering Jesus Christ. And so Paul tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, you need to remember Jesus Christ in two particular ways. Look in the Bible. He says, first, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. This is a reminder that Jesus willingly laid his life down at Calvary. Jesus came, offered his life. No man took it. He gave his life up, but he did not stay dead. 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And in so doing, Jesus declared victory over sin, over death, over this earth, over humanity, over all of eternity. Jesus is the victor. Jesus now reigns supreme at the right hand of the Father of God, God the Father. So Timothy, when you encounter hardships and suffering for the sake of the gospel, it is vital that you remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Your circumstances, Timothy, no matter how hard they are, no matter how much suffering you endure, and you will endure suffering, you must remember Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead. He is the victor. Timothy, when you feel the urge to give up, when you feel the urge to quit, to walk away, when your suffering and hardship is too much, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. He suffered greater than you and I did. And he defeated suffering and death. Timothy, your circumstances, your hardships and suffering will not have the final say in eternity. So, brother, press on. Remember who you serve, Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. But that's not all that Paul says. He tells Timothy, secondly, that he should remember Jesus Christ. Look in the Bible, the offspring of David. Why would he include such a statement? Well, friends, it's because every Jewish person who read this statement will understand clearly what Paul is saying. Paul is declaring that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, just as it is declared in John chapter 7, verse 42. Paul, as he's writing this letter to Timothy, says, "Brother, remember Jesus Christ. He is the one for whom God the Father promised long ago to our forefathers. He's the one who God said would come and redeem his people. Timothy, he has come. What God promised has happened. God is faithful to his promise. He brought us the Messiah to redeem his people." Timothy, my brother, when you go through these hardships and sufferings, remember, Jesus has defeated death. Remember, Jesus is a victor. But remember, Jesus is also the reminder of God the Father's faithfulness to his children. This is absolutely incredible. Your suffering and your hardships, don't get pressed down by them. Remember, God is faithful. He will always be faithful to his word. And God promises, Timothy, that he will never leave his children. He will never forsake them. Why? Because God can be nothing else but faithful to his own word. So friends, in verse 8, we have heard Paul's admonition to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ. Paul knew that this was central to Timothy's life, to his ministry, and to his endurance in the faith. Paul says that the hope Timothy has is found in remembering the gospel of Jesus Christ. This week, I have thought a lot about Timothy's need to remember Jesus. And church, while this text is clear that what Timothy must do, or let me back up. This text is clear that Paul is writing to Timothy about a specific situation. But the encouragement and the hope that Paul offers to Timothy is the same hope and the same encouragement for us today. I mean, isn't this what the Bible tells us over and over again? That apart from Christ, we can do nothing. He is our strength. He is our hope. He is our life. Church, Paul is speaking to Timothy in a specific way, but let's not forget that there is a sense in which this is needful for us all the time. You and I must remember what we need most during times like these, times where we face hardships, times where we face uncertainties and fears and even anxieties. What you and I need most is to keep our eyes on Jesus. That's what Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 1. Set your minds on Jesus Christ and then the things above. So regardless of the circumstance that you find yourself in today, remember Jesus Christ. He is the risen Messiah who is reigning supreme. Your hardships, brothers and sisters, your difficulties, your suffering will not have the final say in eternity. And furthermore, when you remember Jesus Christ, remember God's faithfulness. That while you may be walking through difficulties right now, God will always be faithful to you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Friends, those of you who are believers can trust that in your hardships, God will be faithful. So the encouragement number one that Paul provides Timothy for continuing in the faith and guarding the gospel in the midst of hardship and suffering is to remember Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah who is reigning supreme. The second encouragement that Paul gives to Timothy is found in verse 9. This is the encouragement, once again, to continue in the faith and to continue to guard the gospel even when hardships and suffering comes. Paul says in verse 9 that this is the gospel for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Paul doesn't hold back here. He's very clear to Timothy in his letter. He says, listen, you may have to face similar things that I have faced in your future. You and I both serve the same Lord. We both are ministers of the same gospel. And here's what it's cost me, Timothy. Paul says that I am suffering. In other words, what I am going through is painful. It's not necessarily enjoyable. There's nothing intrinsically heroic about what I'm going through. It hurts. The second thing he tells Timothy is that he is in chains. He's not just in a cell in prison. He is in chains. What is more, he is being accused, number three, of being a criminal or an evildoer. Some would even translate that as a good for nothing. Paul is saying, Timothy, what I'm going through, my suffering is not viewed as honorable or noble to the watching world. I am accused publicly of being evil. People look at me and they think I'm crazy for my beliefs. And this is what you may have to endure as a Christian and as a pastor. Friends, can you imagine what Timothy must have been thinking at that moment? I mean, he is holding a letter from his mentor. And his mentor is telling him that life, if it's not hard yet, is going to get hard for him. Perhaps Timothy reads this letter from Paul and maybe he questions whether or not he wants to continue on as a Christian or even a pastor. After all, this is most likely not the life that he had envisioned for himself growing up. But Paul provides encouragement to him, to Timothy, in the second half of verse 9. He says, even though I'm suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's not necessarily fun or enjoyable, and it's not necessarily viewed as noble, even though I'm suffering, Timothy, rest assured that while I may be in chains, God's word is not in chains. He says God's word will not be bound. This is a crucial point in Paul's encouragement to Timothy to continue on in the faith. He's saying there is assured victory, Timothy. You need to understand, brother, some people will hear you proclaim the gospel, and what they will do is they will try to lock you up. And in so doing, they may think that they have won. They have stopped the gospel. But you can rest assured, they cannot stop the gospel from going forward. In fact, the gospel will continue to move on through the sufferings of the followers of Jesus Christ. So Timothy, be encouraged to continue on in the faith. Be encouraged to guard the gospel, because when you suffer for the gospel, we know that the gospel continues to move forward. But there's a second application from verse 9. And if we were to pan out a little bit to a broader application, here's what we know. God's word in the midst of suffering and hardships always provides encouragement to continue on in the faith for the believer. Paul is writing scripture. And what is he saying? He's saying, remember Jesus Christ. Remember what you've heard. Remember what you've read, what you've studied. The word of God in the midst of your hardships and suffering will always serve to encourage the heart of the believer to continue on, pressing on for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, wherever you find yourself today, please understand two things. Your suffering, your hardship for the sake of the gospel is not in vain. Secondly, remember that when you do walk through hardships and suffering, and you will as a Christian, remember the word of God. Don't run to anything else. Run to God, run to his word. It will provide the encouragement for you and I to continue on in the faith. So encouragement number two for young Timothy to continue in the faith and to guard the gospel in the midst of hardship and suffering is that God's word will not be stopped. It cannot be defeated. And secondly, the encouragement is to recognize that God's word provides encouragement to the believer in the middle of hardships and sufferings. So friends, during a time like this, when we are quarantined, when we are pushed back to our homes, would you make it your aim to go back to the sufficient word of God? There you will learn more about this glorious God that we serve, and you will find the encouragements to continue to press on for the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul provides a third encouragement in verse 10. He tells young Timothy, you have to continue in the faith. You have to guard the gospel. And in the midst of hardship and suffering, look at verse 10. He says, therefore, meaning because Jesus has risen from the grave, because Jesus is the promised Messiah, because God's word is not bound, what does he say? He says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Notice the word choice that Paul gives here in verse 10. He says that he endures everything for the sake of the elect. Paul could have said, I endure everything for the sake of the lost. But he chooses the word elect. And what Paul's doing here is he's telling Timothy, listen, your hardships and your sufferings for the sake of the gospel is coming with a sure victory. Meaning Paul says, I endure all of these things so that those that Jesus has died for will be saved. Timothy, as ministers of the gospel, we have victory. It is sure victory. I endure hardships and suffering so that those whom God has called will be saved. Even if I am in chains, what does Paul do? He proclaims the gospel, Philippians chapter 1. And Timothy, you can rest assured that God's word is not bound and that God will save those he died for. He will not lose them. There is sure victory in what we are called to do, which is to make disciples. But Paul goes one step further. Look at the second half of verse 10. Paul says that he does this so that the elect may attain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you write in your Bibles or you mark up your Bibles, I would circle eternal glory. And just remember those two words. Paul says, Timothy, I'm in prison. I'm in chains. I have been slandered and mocked. I have had people try to kill me. And I gladly endure all of that. Why? Because I want those who are lost to know Jesus. I want them to know the eternal glory that awaits both me and them. So I can walk through these difficulties. They're not necessarily fun. They're not enjoyable, but I can walk through them. Why? Because there is a promise of eternal glory for all who believe in Jesus Christ. So what is this eternal glory? Friends, it is reigning with Jesus. That is what awaits you and I as believers. So how do we think about, how do we apply verse 10 to our lives? I think there's two ways. Number one, if you are a Christian, you are called to make disciples. We are to make disciples. That means we must go and articulate. We need to speak the gospel to those who don't know Jesus. And we must do that consistently. And in so doing, you need to understand that there will be hardships and suffering that accompany proclamation of the gospel. Jesus guarantees it. He says, the world hated me, so they're going to hate my disciples. But regardless of that, Paul says that you, Timothy, and by extension, all Christians, when you proclaim the gospel, when you suffer for it, you can endure that. Why? Application number two, because there is a promise of eternal glory for all who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Eternal glory awaits you as a believer. Eternal glory awaits me as a believer. Can you imagine what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace? What an incredible day that will be. So friends, no matter the hardships and suffering that we endure for the sake of the gospel, there's coming something better. We will see Jesus face to face. What is more, we will reign with him forever. But if we just scale back a little bit and we look at our life in general, the Christian life is hard. I know many of your stories. I know some of you are walking through incredible difficulties right now. Friends, can I just encourage you to press on? This hope that Timothy has for suffering for the sake of the gospel is the same hope we have walking through any and all circumstances here on this earth today. Jesus will save the people that he's called to, and Jesus is guaranteeing eternal glory for all of us who continue to endure in the faith. So brothers and sisters, look at me. If you are struggling today, if you are facing fear, anxieties, uncertainties, if you are having difficulties, whatever they may be, brothers and sisters, look to verse 10. Remember, there is eternal glory that awaits you. Your circumstances may never improve here on earth. However, when we die and see Jesus face to face, it will be worth it because there is an eternal glory that awaits all of us who endure to the end. So encouragement number three that Paul gives to Timothy for continuing in the faith and for guarding the gospel in the midst of the hardship and sufferings is that Jesus guarantees both the salvation and the eternal glory for his people. Jesus guarantees the salvation and the eternal glory for his people. But verses 11 and 12 provides the fourth encouragement for Paul or for Timothy to continue in the faith and guarding the gospel in the midst of hardship and suffering. And that fourth encouragement is this: God's promises are everlasting. Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. Paul says, "The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Notice Paul's words at the beginning of verse 11. He says, Timothy, this saying is trustworthy. In other words, you can bank on it. It's sure. You can stand on what I'm saying. You can build your entire life on it. So what is it that is true? It's that those who died with Christ will live with him. And if we endure, we will also reign with him. This is a promise from God. God's promises are everlasting. They are sure. We can trust all of God's promises. What Paul is telling Timothy, and by extension all Christians, is that we have a promise of victory through hardship and suffering for the sake of the gospel. And Paul actually talks about this in Romans 6. He says, those who are in Christ have died with him. So at the point of your salvation, at the point of my salvation, what happens is the old Matt we see died. The old you died. The new Matt we see and the new you has a new identity. So it's no longer Matt we see. It is Matt we see, child of God. So now, as a believer in Jesus Christ, I am called to live every moment of every day for Jesus Christ. I am called to obey God's word. Our identities are now found in Jesus and no longer ourselves. And friends, all Christians who have died with Christ will have the promise of living with him forever. What is more, Paul says that if you endure this life, if you endure the hardships and sufferings for the sake of the gospel, there is a promise that you will reign with him. You know, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus tells the church of Laodicea that if they overcome, they can sit on the throne with him. What a thought. What an amazing thought. What would it be like to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is reminding Timothy of. He says, look, if we make it through this, and I know it's hard, but if we make it through this, we will live and reign with Jesus forever. Why? Because Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus is the Messiah who's reigning supreme. God said it. We can take it to the bank. Brothers and sisters, you have to understand that in our call to make disciples, there will be hardships and sufferings. But for all of us who endure through those hardships and sufferings for the sake of the gospel, we are promised to live with God eternally and to reign with him supremely. Friends, continue on ministering the gospel to the lost, ministering to the gospel to your families. Continue to endure it, even if it's difficult, because there is a promise that we will reign with God eternally. But let's scale back a little bit. More broadly, here's what you need to understand also, is that no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, and I know many of you are suffering hard, you're going through circumstances that I cannot even fathom at this moment. Would you look to Christ? Would you continue to press on and keep the faith? Continue to stay faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ despite what's happening. Why? Because Jesus promises that in eternity we will live with him forever. We will reign with him forever. So while this life is difficult, and I know some of you are going through immense suffering, would you keep pressing on? Because there is coming something better for us all. Friends, hardships and sufferings are never fun or enjoyable, but keep pressing on in the faith. We will one day see Jesus face to face. Things may be stripped away from here on earth. Life may no longer be what we planned it to be. But, praise God, we are just passing through this earth. Amen? So all of this news is fantastic news. If we've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure with him, we will also reign with him. But Paul puts in a very clear warning at the second part of verse 12, he says these words. He says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, friends, this is not nearly as likable as the previous promises, right? I mean, many of us see that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We know that to be true. We go, yes and amen. Jesus' word is not bound by chains, and we have no problem believing that. We have no problem believing the promise that we will live and reign with God eternally. But oftentimes we come to a promise of punishment. And we look at it and we go, surely God wouldn't do that. If I deny him, he's going to deny me? Friends, Jesus said these very words in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew 10 as I read them. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Friends, Paul is very serious here. So is Jesus. Paul is talking, not just denying Jesus one time. We know Peter did that. Peter denied Jesus at his trial leading up to his crucifixion. But what Peter did is he repented of his denial and gave the rest of his life to proclaiming Jesus Christ. No, what Paul is actually declaring here and what Jesus says in Matthew 10 is this. Those who abandon the faith altogether, those who commit apostasy, those who would say, I'm done, I am no longer a follower of Jesus, and walk away. That's who Paul is talking about. But not just those that are so bold to say, I want nothing to do with God. He's also talking about those who would begin to proclaim Jesus Christ different from what the scriptures say about Jesus. Those who would say that God actually doesn't care about how much sin you commit here on earth. God will just overlook everything in love. Or those who deny Jesus is God, or those who would deny the atonement. Paul's talking about if you deny anything about God to this earth and you proclaim God other than how he's described in the scriptures, and you then are guilty of abandoning the faith. And in so doing, if you do that, when you die, you will face God the Father, and Jesus will look at you and look at God the Father and say, I don't know this person. They denied you, they denied me, they denied the Spirit, and I am denying him. He is not one of us. This is a very serious warning. But there's a third reason in which, or a third person that Paul has in mind here. Going to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, Paul instructs Timothy to join in the suffering that he and Jesus had gone through for the sake of the gospel. And what Paul is actually saying here is, like, if you find yourself consistently trying to remove yourself from suffering, trying to remove yourself from enduring persecution and hardships for the sake of the gospel, that is cowardice. And cowardice is the epitome of abandonment. So friends, are you willing and able to proclaim Christ, or are you constantly looking for reasons why you will not proclaim Christ? Paul is clear here. Jesus is clear. Those of us who deny Jesus Christ of the Bible, the one true God, he will deny before God the Father. So God's promises are everlasting, both the good, that if we endure, we will reign with Jesus. We will reign with him and live for him, with him forever. But if we deny him, he will deny us before the Father. My friends, enduring hardships and sufferings in this life are not easy. But I have to ask you, do you see Jesus as worthy of proclaiming and enduring this life and these hardships for? Are you living and proclaiming Christ crucified? Or are you walking away from the faith and denying Jesus with your lips and your life? The promises of verses 11 and 12 are true. We can trust them, both the promises of blessing and the promises of denial here. Paul gives his fifth and final encouragement found in verse 13 to Timothy. This encouragement for Timothy to continue on in the faith and to guard the gospel in the midst of hardship and suffering is found in these words. Verse 13, Paul says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Some of you have incorrectly read the first part of verse 13 as saying that if you walk away from the faith, that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul has already given that warning in the previous verse. Here, Paul is providing hope to those who have stumbled in their walk with Jesus. I mean, I already mentioned the Apostle Peter. You remember him. Out of fear, he started to deny Jesus Christ at his trial. But yet, the Apostle Peter did not abandon the faith. He stumbled in his faith. And friends, the Christian life is hard. We will stumble. We will not obey and endure and suffer perfectly. There will be many times when we utterly fail to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead in the midst of our hardships. But in those times, rest assured, God will not abandon his children. God's faithfulness to you and I, his children, his elect, is not dependent on our faithfulness to him. And praise God it's not, for if God's faithfulness to me was dependent upon my faithfulness to him, God would have left me long ago. But he hasn't. He won't. Why? Because he cannot deny himself. God always acts in conformity to his nature, and he has saved me, and he has sealed me with the promise of his Holy Spirit. So friends, here, if you find yourself stumbling in your faith, repent. If you have found yourself cowering away from proclaiming the gospel, repent and move forward in proclaiming Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Do not wait. Be reminded that while you and I have stumbled in our faith, God has always and will always remain faithful to us. He can do nothing else. He must act in conformity to his nature. So friends, in this text in 2 Timothy chapter 8, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, we have heard Paul's admonition to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, to remember the word of God will not be defeated, to remember that Jesus guarantees the salvation of his people, to remember God always keeps his promises because God is faithful. He cannot be anything but faithful to himself. So for those of us who are Christians, we can bank on God's word. What God says, he will do. So no matter where you find yourself today, no matter what hardships and sufferings you are in, if we endure for the sake of the gospel, we will reign with God forever. But those of you who are watching need to understand this, that these promises, these encouragements and promises to continue on in the faith and to guard the gospel are only for those who are in Christ, are only for those who are Christians. If you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, meaning if you have never turned away from your sins and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, then friends, what I've read and what I've preached about in 2 Timothy chapter 2 is not for you. But today is a day of hope. Today is a day in which God has sovereignly brought you to hear this message. And I would like to point to you a beautiful promise found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And listen closely. This is the promise for those who are unbelievers, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does that for the believer, but he does it for the unbeliever. Jesus died to pay a sin debt that you and I owe. And if you will turn away from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ alone, God is faithful and he will forgive you of your sins. He will cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness, and he will give you eternal life. For those of you who are in Christ and you're walking through circumstances and hardships, you need to remember two things at this moment. Remember this, number one, we are called to make disciples, and in so doing, we will face hardships and sufferings, but God is faithful. And if we endure, we will live and reign with him forever. But as I've said often in this sermon, if we scale back a little bit, we need to remember this, that the Christian life is hard. It is full of suffering and hardships. The same promises and hope that Paul gave to Timothy to continue on in his suffering for the gospel is the same promises and hopes that we have when we deal with difficult circumstances. Jesus is alive. This COVID-19 and these quarantines and the loss of jobs and the difficulties in our families and difficulties with other people have not taken God by surprise. He is reigning supreme at this very moment. And you can trust him that he's doing something in all of this for his glory and for the good of his children. What is more, you can go to the word of God for encouragement. And if you find yourself in the middle of fear and anxieties and circumstances that you're uncertain about, hardships and even suffering, friends, what this text tells us is that God is faithful. He will not abandon his children. He did not abandon, God the Father did not abandon God the Son. He did not abandon Paul. He did not abandon Timothy. And he will not abandon you if you are a child of his. So friends, press into the hope that is found in Jesus Christ alone. At the beginning of this sermon, I read to you a statement by Mr. Dickinson. He said, "Cannibals, you will be eaten by cannibals." Upon hearing these words, John Patton replied, "Mr. Dickinson, you are advanced in years now, and your own prospect is soon to be laid in the grave, there to be eaten by worms. I confess to you that if I can but live and die serving and honoring the Lord Jesus, it will make no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. Friends, Patton lived his life for Jesus Christ. He endured hardships and suffered greatly for the gospel. Why is that? Because he believed the promises of Scripture. He believed that Jesus was worth suffering for. He believed that the lost needed to hear the gospel. He believed that Jesus would save the lost and that he would give eternal glory to all of his children. He believed that he would one day reign with God in eternity. So friends, when we think about this passage, we need to think about it in a few more ways. As I've said already, we are called to make disciples. That is not a suggestion. We are called to make disciples, and when we do so, it will be difficult. We will be mocked. We may be persecuted, but we are called to make disciples. And any suffering and hardships that we endure for the name of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel will be worth it, because this life is not all there is. If, like John Patton say, we can live and die serving Jesus Christ, we have accomplished much in this life. Friends, go and make disciples. Utilize this time to make disciples in your own homes and with your neighbors. Do not cower back from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Press into the hope that is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. But the second thing I want us to think about as we conclude this sermon is this: that your circumstances do not define your eternity. Your circumstances do not define your eternity. Your hardships, your sufferings, whatever it is you find yourself walking through today, you have the promise of reigning with God eternally. So endure. Press on. Live your life for Christ and nothing else. It will be worth it all. Listen as I read what awaits all of us in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be no mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Friends, this is what awaits all of us who endure for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray that you would help us to endure. Help us to live this life for your glory. Help us to be intentional about our hardships and sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Help us to be intentional about making disciples. And Lord, even in our hardships just that come through the Christian life, I pray that we would be intentional and enduring for your name's sake. Father, we confess we can only do this by the power of the Spirit, so we pray that you would equip and encourage and continue to be faithful to us as we walk through this life. We want to live for Christ and Christ alone. Help us to see him as being worthy of enduring all hardships and sufferings for your name's sake. Remind us once again that our hope is in Jesus Christ alone. Remind us once again that God, you are faithful and you will always be faithful to your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.